We just want to spend some time, first of all, with our Heavenly Father and just ask Him to speak to our hearts this morning and help us to say and do and think the things that He is calling us to on this special Father's Day. Heavenly Father, we come before You asking that You would speak to our hearts and that You would help us to realize the importance of the dad in the family, that this is an important moment, that this is a special day, that this day needs to be honored in a very high position because this is the impact that is taking place on the children and those homes. And we just honor these fathers that are putting their hearts and their lives and pouring them into their children, that they are being the head of their home, their household, and that they are doing those things that are necessary to help them to be raised up in the way they should go. We just pray that You would speak to our hearts and help us to see the importance of this relationship that exists between a father and their child. And that You would help us to speak forth Your word as it relates to these issues. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And we thank You for it. Amen. The most important thing that I think that we can examine is that commitment that a dad makes when he starts out in raising his kids. What we have in most companies, in most of the things that we do as projects, we set forth a goal. We set out that goal to say that we want to head in this direction, and this is the destination that we're wanting to reach. When we, Christy and I, are getting ready to go on a trip to Chicago, And we're going to be celebrating our anniversary. And Christy's been putting up with me for a long, long, long time. And I'm wanting to show my appreciation for that. And this is not going to even scratch the surface. But in order for us to get to Chicago, we're going to have to get our triptych ready and get our goal set. Or otherwise, we're going to end up somewhere else. We may plan to go to Chicago, but if we don't actually take all the necessary turns and go down the necessary roads and highways, we won't get there. We all know that. And what we want to start with this morning is we want to examine the issue of a commitment. And it's found in Joshua 24:15 is the commitment that I'm recommending. The people are standing listening to Joshua, and he is talking to them about making a dedication, making a commitment for their household. And he's saying to them, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And those people standing there did exactly that. The heads of each household, as they stood there, made a decision and said, okay, this is the direction I want to go. And they took their families in that direction. And their destiny, their future, was based on that commitment that they made. And if the dad decided, I really don't want to involve myself in the things of God, then that's the decision that dad made, and that's the commitment that he made, and that was the relationship that he had with his household. But Joshua makes this statement, and it's an awesome statement. But as for me and my household. Now that sounds like something that you can't do. As we all know that we are all free moral agents. We all have a free will. But the fact is that God is making the dad's family, the dad, the head of the family, making them responsible for the direction, the captain of the ship, the driver in the car. He's setting them up as the person who is saying, okay, this is the direction I and those passengers in my car, on my ship, in my household, this is the direction we're going. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that commitment brings us to that position of the realization of that this person's heart, this person's life is being given over to God and saying, I'm going to bow down. I'm going to bow my knee before my Heavenly Father, and I'm going to make Him the guidance of my life. I stood at my dad's funeral. The casket is there in front of me, and I'm standing at a lectern kind of like this. And I'm looking out over at all of the aunts and uncles and cousins and all sorts of different friends of the family. And I told them that even though we never did have much money, that that wasn't something that bothered me. That this wasn't something that affected me as saying, well, you know, I feel cheated. Instead, what I said to them was, my dad gave me the greatest inheritance that I could possibly have. He led me to Christ. And I was thankful for that. Now, my dad and I had some knockdown, drag-out moments. There were some times when I thought I hated him. There were other times when I thought that maybe he hated me. But in all of it, my dad, in all of the struggles, all of the life's difficulties, all of the major financial issues, everything that dad did, this one thing stands above it all. He committed himself and said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And when he made that decision, that made that decision for my future. I wasn't in a position to make that decision. I was out of control. My life was out of control. It was under his control. And when he made that decision, it influenced me. The Bible says in Matthew 6:8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now that's something that we all think, well, yeah, God, of course, he knows exactly what we need even before we ask. We all know that our kids are going to come to us and they're going to ask us for some things, aren't they, Dad? They're going to come to us and they're going to be asking us for some special permission. They're going to come to us and they're going to ask us for certain things that we provide for them, that we give them permission to do certain things. And sometimes we just don't feel all that adequate. Yes, God, he knows what we need before we ask, but do we? Are we prepared? And the thing that God wants to speak to our hearts as dads is to say to us, I have prepared you to be a dad. I have done what it takes to get you ready for being a dad. Now, I'm not just speaking to those who have the kids in the home. Automatically think, okay, well, this is Father's Day, and we're talking about raising kids, and that's obviously what makes a dad, is having a child. But we're talking about those that are fathers-to-be. We're talking to those who have kids in their home now, and we're talking to fathers whose kids have already left home. The fact is that God knew what your life was going to be like before you became a dad. And God gave you these experiences as you were a little baby, all the way through teenage, all the way up to being an adult and a parent. God knew you and what you were going to need all during that time. And all during that time, God prepared you and worked this system of you being a child before you raised any kids, so that you would know what it's like to be a child, so that you would understand what children go through, how they feel, what they experience, what kind of temptations they engage in. And the fact is that you have been learning all during that entire time, and God doesn't want you to take all of your past experiences and flush them. A lot of time, in a lot of places, in a lot of church settings, the life you lived prior to Christ, you're encouraged to just get rid of it. You're encouraged to forget about it. You're encouraged to just be ashamed of it. And in a lot of things that we've done, we are ashamed of them. But the thing is that those old things have passed away, and God has rechanged them into a training program for us to say, okay, I have been a kid, and I know, before my kids even ask me, I know what they need. And until the dad gets that commitment in their heart and says, I'm an expert, I'm the dad. God trained me for these kids. He handpicked me for raising these particular kids, and he sent me through all of the life experiences that I had, raising me up, training me in, to know what these kids are going to need when they need it. The world is spending its entire time attacking you, Dad. The experts, the quote-unquote experts of our society, are busy trying to tell you as a dad how to raise your kids. And it is God's desire that that's what you flush. It's God's desire that that's what you give up. It's God's desire that you realize that you're the qualified dad for these kids. Even if they're not in your home anymore, you're the qualified dad for these kids, because the reason why you experienced those things you experienced when you were growing up was because God wanted you to experience them so that you would know what you needed to know to raise these particular kids. And that's the reason why you know how to train your child in the way they should go. Proverbs 22 says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, a lot of people have looked at this as some sort of promise. But this is not some sort of promise and some sort of guarantee. This is, in fact, a provision. You see, God knows that he has people who are free will, who have free will. And we think, oh, you can't make a kid become a Christian if they don't want to. Well, God understands that part. But here, that's not the part that God's concerned about. He's not worried about someone getting forced into Christianity. He's concerned about those kids who want to serve him and are not being given an opportunity. That's why it concerns God. Now, not only did God handpick you and handpick your life and hand-train you and make sure that you had all the experiences you needed to be the qualified dad for these kids, but God handpicked the kids. For whom God did foreknow, he did also predestine. And he's not concerned about the fact that my dad made me go to church when I didn't want to. He's not concerned about the fact that I'm all bent out of shape. Well, the reason why I don't go to church anymore is because my parents forced me to go to church. Well, good for them. They hadn't. Foolishness was born in me, and it had to be driven far from me. You didn't have to make me foolish. I was born that way. I just did dumb things. It was born in me that I would think certain thoughts and feel certain feelings and do certain things that were stupid. And my mom and my dad, they exposed me to the truths of Christianity. And those truths of Christianity, even though there was a point in time when I rejected them, I hadn't rejected Christianity for 6 months. It didn't even take 6 months of rejecting those things that my parents raised me to believe in. It didn't take 6 months for me to realize that I had made a mistake. That Christianity was real, that it was true, and that I shouldn't have left it. It didn't take that long. This is as soon as I took charge over my life and I started letting me do what I wanted to do and sneaking around doing those things my parents didn't want me to do, even though I was now in charge of those things that I wanted to do and was able to do them by just being away from my parents where they couldn't watch me, they couldn't see what I was doing, because they couldn't watch me every moment of every day. Being in charge and going out and heading in the direction that I thought I should go, it didn't take me 6 months to realize that my parents had landed in the truths of the universe. My life started to fall apart at a high rate of speed. My friends, whose parents allowed them to do all sorts of things that my parents fought me on, as I started doing those things, it was almost immediately that I understood why they wouldn't let me do them. But it's bait. Those goody things that I was looking at had a hook in them. And as I took the bait, It wasn't just a hook. There was a line hooked onto that hook. And there was a reel on that line. And there was a person, a Satan, an enemy that was on that reel. And he reeled me in. And I, like a fish, fought with everything that was in me. I took every ounce of my strength. I put everything into trying to keep myself from going down that tube. And I went down that tube. I walked in, sat down with my parents and said, here's what I'm doing. I don't know how to get out of this. I'm hooked on so many things. I'm involved with so many friends. I've got so many influences coming at me, and I just can't quit. I've tried. I've really seriously tried, but I just can't break free from this. And they made it simple for me. They grounded me. And for the first time in my life, I was happy to be grounded. For the first time in my life, I was happy that my parents were in charge of my life. I had been there, done that, didn't like it. Got the t-shirt even. They had trained me as a child in the way that I should go. And now that I have had an opportunity to get old, I have not turned from it. Why? Because God handpicked my parents and God handpicked me for those parents. And they taught me the things that I needed to know in order to do the thing that I wanted to do. And the thing about dads are, is they have lived that life and therefore they know what kind of problems their kids are going to face. They're aware of the temptations. Being human, being teenagers, being kids, being all of those things and being in association with other people just like them, they were exposed to all the problems of being a kid. And they learned what the problems were. You know what the problems are. And God is asking you to know what the problems are, for you to accept the fact, I know what the problems are, and I know what my kid is going to go through. And since I know what the problems are, I am going to make decisions based on those problems. Your kids are going to go through similar temptations that you went through. It's just a fact. That's the way it's going to be. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man or mankind. Common. Buy into that right here, right now. Buy into the fact that these temptations are common. Because the world is pressuring against you, dads. The world is saying, you don't understand. You don't know what these kids are going through. You're not qualified to be dad in their lives. And they are trying to disqualify the fact that God trained you up to be, and it caused you to experience all of the temptations and all the problems that your kids were going to face. They are trying to say to you, no, they don't qualify. You don't understand. You don't know what the problems are. These kids are facing something that you don't get. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that is not true. And you have to decide whether you're going to believe the world or you're going to believe the Word of God. As a dad, this is your moment of decision of saying, okay, as for me and my household, we're going to go with the Word of God. And when we do, we make that decision that we are going to take the problems that God trained us in on, and we're going to mix them with the Word of God that God's training us in. And as we take the Word of God and mix it with the problems that we have experienced, then we are bringing ourselves to a place where we are ready to start training our children the way they should go. And I don't care if they're 50. They still need this training. You're going to always be their dad. And there's no one that's going to love them more than you do. There's no one that's going to want them to succeed more than you want them to succeed. No one. They may not want to hear your advice. They may not be ready to respect what you have to say. You may be talking to someone that looks like water on a duck's back. But the fact is, you're their dad, You love them and you want the best for them more than any other person in the world. And you have the experience and training for it. And you have the experience and training of the Word of God for it. And you alone are going to be able to have the impact that is needed in their life. You're their dad. Now, one of the things that alienates us from our kids is described in the first part of Ephesians 6:4. And it's one of those scriptures that, it's like, okay, that's not possible. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Good luck with that. Why? Well, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And when Dad said no, that was exasperating. I didn't want no. I mean, I was a teenager. I knew everything. My dad wanted to send me out and get a job while I knew everything so that later on when I didn't know as much, then that, you know, at least I'd have a lot of money. We know everything, don't we? The reason why we run away from home, the reason why we reject our parents, we because we just know everything. It's not until later that we do like the prodigal son. We come to our senses and say, whoa, that was stupid. I didn't know everything. I just thought I knew everything. But you know what causes us to exasperate our children? Here's one thing that we have to consider as dads. Not only do we deal sometimes with rights and wrongs, but sometimes we want to imprint our own personality on them. I almost became an accountant because Dad worked with me and tried to talk me into the fact that that's what I needed to be. That would not have been good for me. Accounting was not my character. That would not have been heading me in a good direction. And fortunately, even though my mom all of her life had wanted to play the piano, and even though she gave me piano lessons because she had always wanted to play the piano, I didn't want to play the piano, but I was playing the piano, and I didn't want to play the piano. And just as soon as I got an opportunity to stop playing the piano, I quit playing the piano, okay? And that wasn't a right or wrong issue, was it? That wasn't something that it was saying, see here in the Bible it says you thou shalt play the piano. That wasn't in there. It was exasperating for me for mom to cram piano down me and dad try to talk me to go in a direction that I just wasn't qualified for. It wasn't the direction that God has called me to. And sometimes we exasperate our kids because we as dads, we want the very best for them, and sometimes we step out of the boundaries of our training and the experience that God has given us and the Word of God that He has implanted in our hearts, and sometimes we just have our own personal preferences, and we just sort of try to push those on our kids. We want to make them be what we are. We want them to have what we didn't get. And so we try to give them those things that we've always wanted because we figured that if we liked it, then they'd like it, and they don't. But as long as we stay in the realm of right and wrong, we don't exasperate them because the Holy Spirit is dealing with every person, and He's reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is causing your kid, no matter how rebellious or nor how old they may be and how resistant they may sound, the Holy Spirit is helping them to feel guilty about those things that they're doing that are wrong that they're doing and the things that are right that they're not doing. He's reproving them of that sin. And he's sounding a bell inside of their head when you talk. And he's saying, hey, this is right on. And no matter how much they may yell and scream on the outside, the Holy Spirit is dealing with them on the inside, and He's helping them to agree with those things that you say. Now, they may never give you the credit for it. They may come to a place to where I hear my daughter saying things, and I say, well, I said that. They said, I don't remember you ever saying that. They'll forget you ever taught them that. But it's getting them in the right direction, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit is dealing with their heart and preparing them for your words and your influence on their lives, Dad, is helping you to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And that's without exasperation, because this is going to be resonant in their, is going to resonate in their heart, that the thing that you are speaking to them is coming from your heart and coming from God. You see, what we have to have is we have to have dads that buy into the fact that they're qualified as dads. The world's pounding on you, and the world is pounding on your kids. And you as dads are going to have to break the difference barrier. We all think that our generation was different. Well, you just don't understand, because your world was different than mine. You're going through, you went through stuff that's not anything like what we're going through today. The world is pushing it hard. The world is trying to break up and alienate the relationship of the dad and the children. And he's trying to create the dads to bring them to a place to where they feel the lack of confidence in being a dad. And they're causing the kids to feel like that the dad doesn't qualify, that they don't understand. Things are different now. We sing different songs. We dress differently. We approach things differently. We think differently. And all of the sociological studies that go into saying, okay, the Gen X group, they think like this, and the boomers think like this, and they separate it all out to where that nobody understands anybody, because everybody's different. And you've got to, as a dad, break that barrier of difference and say, Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again, and there is nothing new under the sun. What we have is the same old sin that was going on in our generation, wrapped in a slightly different package and packaged up and served to the people as the same old sin in a different package. And it makes us think, okay, this I'm not qualified to deal with this kind of music. I'm not qualified to deal with this kind of dress. My dad couldn't stand what I wore. He called me a zoot suiter, and I had no idea what a zoot suiter was. He said, oh, you look like a zoot suiter. I didn't know the way he had his face scrunched up, it must have been bad, but if a zoot suiter looked like I did, then they were cool. But what I wore was not what he wanted to wear. But there was no scripture that said, don't wear your jeans, where they look brand new, and they crease, and you turn that crease under, and you take a bobby pin, and you put it on the sides of it, and you wear a white, thin, suede belt, because Elvis Presley did. Anything changed? No. Nothing changed. Are they wearing the same clothes now? No. But they're wearing different clothes, like I wore different clothes, like my dad wore different clothes, like his dad wore different clothes. Nothing changed. It's the same old sin, Dad. It's the same old temptations. They're going through exactly what you went through. And you've got to break the difference barrier. You have to help them to look at these scriptures and say, see here, from Sodom and Gomorrah all the way through, people have been doing exactly what they're doing now. It hasn't changed from way, way back beyond what we can even find record for. It hasn't changed at all. It has been the same sins that have taken place all the way through. And you're being tempted with the same exact sins. They may be in different packages, but when you open them up on the inside, it's the same sin. And it's trying to kill you, son. It's trying to kill you, daughter. And you have to help them to understand that that difference barrier doesn't exist. That it's the world trying to separate them from their parents and make them to feel like you're just not qualified, so that their ears will be closed and say, you don't understand. You just don't understand me. You don't understand what I'm going through. I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to discover my way of life. I'm trying to find the way thing for my world, my generation. And as they look out here, they find exactly what you found out there. And until they come to their senses and realize, Dad knows what he's talking about. Things are not different. He is qualified for the job. And there is no one loves me more than he does. And when he sits down with me and he talks to me, he has my best interest in mind. And not only does he mean well, he can do well. Because he's qualified, and I ought to listen to him. He doesn't just have me in mind in his heart. He has me in mind in his life, because God raised him up and gave him kid experiences and trained him in all the way. And then when he became a dad, he handpicked me to be his child and to be him, to be my dad. And God put us together because he's my best chance of me making it in a successful life. Because he cares and he's trained, and I'm the right one to plug into that which he has to offer. Because for whom God did foreknow, he did also predestine. And we are together, and when I am old, and when I finally face all of the issues of my life, and I come down to my final decisions, Dad was right. He knew what he was talking about. And I'm becoming more like my dad every day. Sometimes I say, God forbid, but I'm being more like my dad. But the fact is, that was God's design, God's plan, to bring you to a place to raise your children in the way they should go. The next issue is to break the relationship barrier. Matthew 22, verse 39, last part says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's talking about the people around you. This is a difficult thing sometimes, to break that relationship barrier with our kids. That the feelings of inadequacy that we feel, the fact that we just don't feel qualified, all of those are part of it. And the fact that the kids consider themselves different, that's also a part of that barrier, that wall that exists between us and them, to where that we sit down with them and sometimes we just don't feel like we have anything to talk about. There just seems like there's no real open line of communication between us and them. But the thing is you love them, and God is asking you to love them as yourself. He's saying to you, okay, now what would you want done to you? What is it that you want to experience? And you just lay out your life and your heart to your child, and you say to them, and once again, child, I'm talking about any age. Just laying your heart out to them and saying, okay, here's the things that I've gone through. These are the things that I've experienced. And you start to open up your life to them. It is so much easier for people to identify with you when they understand that you understand. When you start to share with them the mistakes, the failures, the difficulties, the struggles, those things that you've been tempted with, those hardships that you've had, when you start to just share with them those past experiences and you start to open up your life to them and let them see inside of you, it breaks that relationship barrier. To where that, first of all, you put away everything that doesn't have to do with the basics. No piano playing. No accounting, none of those things that we just like to slip in there, I'm your dad, listen to me, to stuff. Just what they need. Open up your heart. Let them see the inside of you. Let them feel your pain. Let them feel your love. As yourself, open up yourself. Don't come in condescending. That's not how you want to be treated, is it? Don't come in authoritatively. Coming in on a love level, laying out your heart and your life and saying, this is me. This is what I've gone through. These are the experiences I've had. Men don't like doing that much. Then I get all gooey and cry and share. I don't like doing that. But with our kids, we have to be open. With our kids, we have to be real. You can't say to your child, don't do what I do, do what I say. It costs. It kills. We have to be real. We have to be open. We have to allow our heart to be vulnerable in our relationship with those kids. Matthew 12:25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Our job is to provide the love and to provide the unity. One of the great things about dads are, dads provide unity. Dad can get in and sit down and bring harmony to a home. A dad can sit down and he can referee situations. And it is our responsibility as dads to make sure that we're not the troublemakers, that we're not the ones that are causing the difficulties. We're the ones that are bringing the solutions. We're the ones that are bringing that point of unity to the home. Our objective has to be to get everyone working together as a family, enjoying one another's company, enjoying one another's benefits and blessings. It's our job to establish the necessary security for our home. As dads, we are good at making people in our household feel protected. And one of the greatest things that you can offer your family, one of the greatest things that you can offer your kid is faith. Now faith is, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and the certain of what we do not see. That is the one thing that if you build into your family as a dad, if you build faith in the heart of your people, it will kill depression. It will kill frustration. It will kill anger. It will kill the destruction in the relationships. If your family is a faith family that believes in the truths of God, it will help them to know they know. And they will not be in the realm of constantly confused about what's going on, the uncertainties of life. The reason why people are sometimes paranoid is because they don't trust God. The reason why people will fight among themselves and try to make sure that they get the biggest share of the inheritance is because they don't trust God. The reason why people get trapped in all the worldly cares is because they don't trust God. The reason why husbands and wives don't trust one another and kids don't trust their parents is because they don't trust and believe in God. Faith is the one established security that you can have and you can offer to your family to bring them to a place where they have security in the life they live. Set the pattern, Dad. Just set the pattern. First of all, before anything else you do, make sure that you're living the life. Just say, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Don't send them to church. Don't just buy them a good Bible. Don't just mention the principles. Live them. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.